Deer Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Lightshade is Colorado's premier dispensary, not just because they have a premium selection of cannabis concentrates, top shelf flower, edibles, tinctures, accessories, and more, but it's because of the expertise of those who work there. If you're not sure what you're doing, go into any number of their 11 Denver metro area locations and they'll set you up no matter what you're trying to do. They are the experts and they're going to guide you in the right direction. They're also going to give you 25% off all non-sale items when you use code DNVR at any of 11 Denver metro area Lightshade locations. That's your first pitch. Now let's play ball. Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Right now, when you sign up using code DNVR, that code is going to allow you to make a $5 bet, and you're going to turn it into $150 in free bets as long as you just pick the winner of the NBA Finals. That's it. Any game, pick that winner with code DNVR. You turn $5 into $150 on DraftKings Sportsbook. I'm Patrick Lyons.
And I am Susie Hunter, and I'm excited about this series coming up.
For the first time since 2017, Cleveland's coming to town, and for the first time ever, the Guardians will be here.
Yes. Yes, that is exciting. And also, I mean, if anyone knows me on social media, you know that I unironically love Cleveland as a city. And I wish we were there right now. It's truly the Paris of the Midwest, but...
Wow. What was your take on the announcement?
I did not expect laughter from the laughter. Room.
Yeah, we got an audience today. What were your thoughts on the name Guardian? And we've got plenty of Rockies business to cover today.
Yeah, we do.
We should talk about that. Some events that haven't happened at Coors Field or for the Rockies in quite some time. We'll do some over and under, so to speak.
Yeah.
And you sat down with Jeff Dooley, which is pretty
cool. I got
cool.
Duels. Yeah. The voice of the Hartford Yard Goats. He had a lot of great things to say about some prospects that we are all keeping our eyes on. So
I heard it was really just a 45-minute conversation just about Ezekiel Tovar. Is that true?
You know what? We did talk a lot about him, but we did talk about some other guys, too. We also did acknowledge the fact that it's not even legal for them to be playing baseball without me present.
Sure.
This is their first season without me. Or I guess last season was their first season without me.
When you talk about things being legal and you talk about Ezekiel Tovar, I mean, he's only 20 years old, so there are still some things for him that are not legal yet.
He can't even go to Pig's Eye Pub in Hartford.
He can't.
A favorite spot for
so sad.
For all of us.
Poor guy. That's okay. He'll be. He might be in Denver by the end of this season. We'll see about
that.
Knock
on wood.
But Cleveland Guardians come to town. What was your take on that, since you fancy yourself as a... You know, a pseudo Clevelandite.
Did
you
like that name? Cleveland adjacent.
Was that your pick? Do you like how that went? Was there a sleeper nickname that you also liked at the time when they were rebranding?
You know what? I didn't have anything in mind going into it. I happened to be in Cleveland right after they changed the name. So I actually got to talk to a lot of different fans there about what they thought of the name change. So kind of like a mixed bag. I think it was still so fresh. I think a lot of people, especially like some older people who have had the Indians name for much longer, were just like, I don't like this. Why do we gotta cancel everything? But then like people who were like maybe like more our age or younger were like, you know, like I miss it and like I understand why it had to change. So I'm okay with it. I'm good with it. I'm at peace with it.
Yeah.
So
everything in life, I feel like, is a gift and a curse. Like,
yeah.
It all depends on how you look at it. Just focus more on the gift part and the opportunity. The fact that you're still able to keep the final five letters of the team name, of course.
Yeah. Oh, everyone cherishes the last five letters.
The Deans. Well, it was funny because I know where they train in Goodyear, Arizona. You know, they had to get all the new branding up, but there were some things where they just left up the D-I-A-N-S for the end.
Oh,
and
my
then
gosh.
They removed the I-N and they just put G-U-A-R. So
you know
this
what?
Is a very spelling heavy, very not word friendly podcast I'm describing here.
Very interesting. See, actually, I'm realizing now, like, oh, I didn't get to Goodyear this spring training. I'm assuming you did because you have noticed all these weird little things.
The wonderful world of Twitter takes me to many places. I was not in Goodyear this year.
Oh, you weren't? Oh, okay.
Not.
Never mind.
I was not. No. No, that is a nice ballpark, and it's interesting seeing all the planes that are just kind of just chilling there like that. Mm-hmm. Random airport, which is interesting. One thing that's been kind of random that, you know, we've talked about it plenty because there's been a lot of doubleheaders already.
Yeah.
Five this season.
That's a lot.
They've played four in less than a month. They've played four doubleheaders in 21 days. I think that's the most that they've spent days per doubleheader. Right? We've got miles per hour to know your... It is now.
It's a Patty stat.
That's it.
Let's go.
It is. Last year, they had six doubleheaders, which was the most that they've ever had to deal with before.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they were still doing the seven-inning doubleheaders last year. Yeah, they were.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the first year that they'll have six full nine-inning doubleheaders because there's one coming up in San Diego on August 2nd at the trade deadline. Last year, we know what happened at the trade deadline in San Diego. We'll see what happens this year. I don't think it'll go quite as poorly. I don't think there'll be as many people disappointed in the clubhouse when that happens. But yeah, last year they had four doubleheaders in 25 days, and it's just an interesting anomaly to, you know, be forced to play that much. And it made me think, like, you know, who has the franchise record for most 27th men?
Yeah.
27th man.
I think.
You're the 27th man on the roster.
Yes.
It's an interesting little stat. I mean, that's really, you're the last guy on the bench.
Yeah.
You're the 27th man.
I'm surprised, truly surprised, that you do not have a spreadsheet of this yet.
Yet.
Is the key word.
I got bigger fish to fry here, but
who
I will get around to
today?
It.
Who are we frying today? The Marlins aren't in town.
Well, we might have to fry up some things on the hot stove league, which typically that's what we call baseball in the off season.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like it's starting to heat up here in the summertime with the trade deadline, you know, still 6 weeks away. Again, it'll be August 2nd. Usually in the past it had been the final day in July, and then they would kind of tweak it accordingly sometimes. So it would be like on a Saturday and you can make you know, more of an event around it, or a Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
So you could play off that. But it's going to be August 2nd this year, which is a Tuesday. And already there's been like discussion out there. MLB.com has started to put it out there about players that the Rockies could end up dealing here at the trade deadline. And again, a lot can happen between now and even a month from now to decide if they're going to be buyers, sellers, or kind of just standing pat.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Have you gotten a sense as to where this is going to go, or what they might do if they're kind of just on the cusp, if they're going to go one way or the other?
Yeah. First of all, when you say 6 weeks, that does feel so soon. But
it
also
is.
We know a lot can happen because we're going to play a million games between now and then. I feel like I just don't see the Rockies doing too much.
Yeah.
You know, I don't see them making too many changes because, you know, again, we're, you know, the Rockies not totally tanking, not going to win this division. It's like this limbo. What is really going to be accomplished by the trade deadline?
I think that's true on both ends of the spectrum where you're totally out of it. You might not deal away that many pieces. We'll talk about some of those players. I actually have some confidence that maybe confidence isn't the right word, but I think Bill Schmidt could be a little bit more aggressive if they are out of it, partially because most of their big name guys are locked up. They spent $400 million or they invested $400 million this offseason, and all of those guys are essentially going to be coming back. So you still have all of your faces of the franchise. Mm-hmm. So you can get away with trading some players if you're really out of it, but you're right. It'll probably be, you know, less than more. Yeah. Whereas on the flip, if they are chasing that sixth spot for the wild card, if they're not, you know, firmly entrenched in that third spot in the wild card or in sixth best record and overall in the National League, then they're still probably just going to kind of dip their toe in the water, similar to 2018 when really they only acquired Sungwan Oh in a trade. Drew Butera was around that time.
Yeah.
Matt Holliday had come off retirement essentially to play. So, I mean, they did add three pieces there, but you're right. I think either way, it's not going to be any extremes. Now, Rockies have six players who are going to be free agents at the end of the year that some they have more of a relationship with than others. But the two names that have been floated out there the most on MLB.com are two guys who signed one-year deals in the offseason, Alex Colomé and Jose Iglesias. Both are playing pretty well right now. And if you're a contender looking for a shortstop or middle infielder, because Iglesias can play some second base, and you're looking for a back end of the bullpen, Colomé is going to be your guy. And I think they would fit for just about anybody.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, also looking at Jose Iglesias, I mean, if Tovar's going to move up anytime soon, that would be a great move.
Bingo. Yeah, we talked about it on Monday's live show, Tuesday's podcast with Drew Goodman, that kill two birds with one stone on that if you want. I mean, I don't know that people are going to be heartbroken to see Iglesias go. Again, the take's going to be, oh, look at that. They're quitting and they're giving up. And in a sense, yeah, you'd be right as a fan to think that. But then, oh boy, you're going to feel a lot better. It's like falling off your bike and then you get up. Your knee is still scraped, but then someone gives you a brand new bike and you're like, I'm good. I'm not going to really remember the fact that I skinned my knee. I got this badass new bike.
A very interesting analogy.
That's a great one. I just made that up on the fly. Come on.
Your mind is fascinating, Patrick.
That's a good,
that good
metaphor, right? That's a
metaphor.
Rate my metaphor. We need a graphic here. Rate my metaphor. That, what would you rate that one?
You know what? I would give it a 7 only because usually when you fall off your bike, you don't magically receive a new bike.
Well,
that's
no,
very rare.
But if you did,
that'd be great.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying like it would actually happen, but if you got that brand new bike, you're like, no, I'm good. And like, oh, here, let me put some back whistle. No, wait, what do you put on a scab? Sodium peroxide.
I think you
got to clean it out. You're like, I don't even clean it out.
Hydrogen peroxide. There we go.
Oh boy, you can tell I haven't really injured myself too many times.
I haven't needed hydrogen peroxide in a very long time.
Yeah.
I don't ride bikes like that anymore. I don't really do activities that put me at risk of injury.
But your knee could still be wide open and you're like, I don't care about that. I got the new bike. That's what it's going to be if you trade in Iglesias.
The only way that metaphor works is like if some rich guy hits you with his nice car on your bike and he's like, okay, I'm going to buy you a new bike.
That was literally a movie in like 1990 called Blank Check, I believe.
Oh,
kid got hit by a car and he was given a blank check for a new bike and he ends up cashing for like $1 million or something like that.
I'm pretty sure I have not thought about that movie in like 25 years.
I have not either, but I hear things out in the ether and I pick it up and go, oh yeah, I remember that. And then it kind of revitalizes it.
Encyclopedia Patrick. All right, we should.
Alex Colomé was revitalized. Again, I think he's a good trade chip. MLB.com said Angels, Blue Jays, Phillies as candidates. Angels and Phillies, I mean, they got a long way to go before they're even in it. So it would be interesting to see how much you could get back for it. But again, you know, you might not want to overexpose some of the young guys in the bullpen. So I think that's why in the past the Rockies have held on to some relievers in their last year or two before free agency, because you're really trying to protect some of the younger guys. And I think that would still be true in this instance. But look, if you can capitalize on that and bring back a prospect, and you never know, you just got to keep the phone lines open. You could really, you know, get your socks knocked off like me right now with my sandals. Then sure enough, that's a good deal. You got to accept a deal like that. Daniel Bard, Carlos Estevez, Jolys Chacin, Chad Kuhl, also all four players in the final year of their deal. I don't know. I don't know if you necessarily see any of them going away. Chacin probably has the least amount of trade value, obviously, right now. He's struggling a little bit. I don't think we've seen him. He didn't pitch on the road at all last week in San Francisco and San Diego. But those other guys, again, the situation will kind of dictate what will happen just a little bit if they swing a deal for those guys. Because they're all going to be free agents at the end of the year. No harm, no foul in trading them.
Yeah, for real. But then again, it's like, you know, Chad Kuhl has been such a bright spot, such a consistent piece of the rotation. So it's like, oh, I can't even imagine the Rockies parting ways with that when that is one of the strengths.
But if you got Ryan Feltner, you're creating a spot for him. But you still can never have enough pitching. Like, that's the thing.
Yeah.
You go if a team picks up the phone and calls Bill Schmidt right now and said, we'll give you a lot for Chad Kuhl. You're like, well, I mean, we do kind of need a spot in the rotation a little bit. By the end of this homestand, someone's going on the IL because that's just how luck goes, right? Mm-hmm. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
We also know where I thought you might have been going, or you made me think of, is the Rockies are enamored with Chad Kuhl. And okay, that's great. You still think Ryan Feltner is going to have a spot in this rotation next year, right? You like what he's done already. Again, the next 6 weeks will give us a lot more information about him. But if Ryan Feltner's in the rotation, the other four guys are coming back next year. Marquez, Freeland, Senzatella, Gomber. You are not going to bring back Chad Kuhl. So you can't even have really the argument of, well, we'd like to re-sign him, like in the John Gray situation. We know that went ass over tea kettle, as they say. And that didn't go great. So, I mean, Chad Kuhl could be one of those candidates. There's also four guys that are going to be free agents at the end of next year. So you kind of capitalize early. You could trade him in the offseason, but right now you might get a little bit more because teams are getting now a season plus out of that player. Robert Stevenson, CJ Krohn, probably not for him because, again, they gave him that extension, but he will be a free agent after the end of the 2023 season. Randall Grichuk, who they don't have that same, longstanding relationship as much as CJ Krohn. And then, last but not least, Charlie Blackmon.
I can't believe we're towards the end of that contract.
Yeah. And so that would very much not happen.
Yeah.
Ever.
I can't wrap my head around that, especially.
No. I can't see Charlie Blackmon in any other uniform. It's impossible. Like, almost literally. Like literally, what about just a uniform? What if he's like an accountant or he becomes an agent and he wears a suit and tie? Can't see him in that uniform either.
I can't picture it.
There's no other uniform.
Imagine if he was a Yankee and he had to shave all that beard off. That would be the worst thing to ever happen.
Woof. You said it. You said it. Not me. At the Susie Hunter on Twitter. Not me. No way. I don't think Charlie would even want to do that. I mean, he's having a really solid season this year. Power numbers are great. Again, I don't know what the Yankees analytics department is doing, but they could crunch the numbers and say, hey, that swing would play real well with a short right field porch. Maybe we do throw the bag at Charlie Blackmon.
Listen, the Yankees do love taking Rockies.
I feel bad for just saying that and putting that out there in the world. You're like, oh, no, I'm convincing myself that this could happen. No, it better not.
You're much more worked. I was just talking in hypotheticals. You are living it in your head right now.
But he could be like the next Johnny Damon, which I don't think Charlie Blackmon wants to be the next Johnny Damon. But you're going to get a nice, razor deal from Gillette, maybe Harry's. Maybe go with a newer kind of company.
Oh my God, they own
their own factories over there in Germany, don't they? Is that the part of the commercial?
I don't know. I'm not well versed on this commercial.
I feel like they used to be like an advertisement on like every single podcast. Harry's Shavers. You hear's got to look over there. Like, I've purchased a couple of Harry's in my day.
I think I just tuned those out.
That's it. Yeah. No, Charlie's not going anywhere. No doubt about it. I don't see Krohn going anywhere, but again, you could get creative. I think it'll be interesting to see what happens. Maybe the Rockies kind of do an old school baseball trade. Talked about that again with Drew Goodman yesterday about how if you don't want to give up prospects and you don't want to accept prospects from another team because now your big league club has taken a step back, could be similar to the Tapia Grichuk deal. Tapia has a on-base percentage under 300 right now. He is not doing very well. We saw a lot of him, I feel like, in April. Like, he was on TV a lot.
Yeah.
He was batting cleanup one game for Toronto, which was wild. Had a walk-off hit. Had some nice little swagger. Didn't he like rob a home run?
He had a home run.
I feel like he had a good start. He had a good start to April.
He was getting attention for sure, and he's not getting that attention now.
No, he's back to being Tapia, but it's fun. It's fun to say the least. Yeah, we'll see. He's got one more year left before he reaches free agency. So Rockies will do battle with the Toronto Blue Jays next year. We know with that balanced schedule, so to speak.
Yeah.
We don't know if it's going to be in Colorado where they play or in Toronto, which the Rockies haven't played since 2013. It's the only city in MLB the Rockies have never won in. Folks, 0-9. Google it. 2013.
Oh, my gosh.
Is their last time that they went there.
Did you write this down? How do you just know all of this all the time?
It's underneath my Hartford Yard Goats cap. That's it. Yes. It's just in there.
Yes.
That's it. It's one of those things you go, I don't want to forget it, so then I don't. It's like...
That sounds so stressful, Patrick.
Yeah, I guess, but you get used to it. Anything that you push yourself to do can be stressful, but then you build up that strength and that tolerance, and then you're good, right? That's how it works.
We got to get a therapist on the show at some point.
That would be very interesting.
I'm going to invite my therapist on the show.
Yeah. That would be a fun time. We could have all of our members to the dnvr.com on our members only Discord.
Oh.
Not yet. they put in suggestions. It's like, okay, if you were the Colorado Rockies, what would you say? And then, you know, come up with a phrase about, look, we're just happy to be outdoors. It's a beautiful place. Whether we win or lose, we're just glad to be here. Now, what would you say as a therapist if someone made that comment to you? Like, well, I'd be a little concerned about this. I think that's a healthy way to be, right? Like diagnose the Colorado Rockies, like all those different things.
Oh, I see where you're going.
I'm very loyal, and I really feel like the people that, you know, got me here are the people we should stay with, warts and all. And you know what? Sometimes we might do it too much to the detriment of mental health and what have you. But you know what? Loyalty is very, very important to me. Boom. Therapist. What are your takes if somebody says something like that? Book that segment. We don't need a graphic yet, you hear. Don't worry. We don't need a graphic yet. But that is a segment that's going to happen at some point. So you got to be a member to the dnvr.com. Again, only 50 cents for the first month. Have access to the members only Discord so you can take part in stuff like that. You can also come down to the DNVR bar Wednesday night. Game one of the Stanley Cup Finals. You want to be there besides the fact that, well, it's free to get in, right? Whereas the tickets to get into Ball Arena have to be at least like $20-25, right?
I'm pretty sure they're going for an arm and a leg.
So the very top Ball Arena ones, because I was looking at it, it's like $700.
All right, so at least 25 is still correct. It's still accurate.
I mean, Price is Right rules. You won.
That's how I live my life. Exactly. Yes. No. But yeah, free to get in. And also, you probably want to be there for game one and game two and game three and game four, because there may not be a game five, game six, or game seven. Mm-hmm. Could be a broom situation here. I mean, this is going to be a curling town. Knock on wood. Could be a curling town, because you're going to have those little sweepers on ice.
As a former curler, I love that.
There you go.
Yes. Wait, what?
Former curl. Okay.
I was on a curling team here in high school.
This is news to me. We can talk about this later, but this is crazy.
When we start the DNVR_curling beat, we will definitely talk about it.
But we are doing it on the corner of Colfax, New York. You get a member-sized beer, extra raffle tickets at our watch parties. Also, come celebrate, because it's going to be the last time for a while. We're doing some renovations here. We're going to be bigger. We're going to be better. And we're going to be more DNVR-er. So come on down for the Stanley Cup Finals. And make sure you have a Breckenridge brew, because, look, that's what we've got on tap. That's what you want for your member-sized beer. But also, it's still not too late. Go to breckbrew.com so you can nominate a community star and send them to the Stanley Cup Finals. Like, legit, for these games that are going to be in Denver, Breck Brew, they've got tickets, and they want you to nominate a stellar community member and an Avs fan who deserves a chance to celebrate at one of these Stanley Cup Finals. They've been doing it all throughout the playoffs. They're going to hook them up with two tickets, gear to match, and, of course, the drink of the season, Avalanche Ale. Celebrate properly and toast someone that you know that gives back to the community and deserves this. It's Breckenridge, or rather, it's breckbrew.com to nominate that community star. And, again, proceeds of all Avalanche Ale goes to Community Fund Boulder County to benefit the Marshall Fire victims. As we said at the top, code DNVR on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. You turn $5 into $150 in free bets. Are you just a straight-up go-for-the-win person, or do you like these same-game parlays where you can kind of cobble together two, three, or four bets so you have an even bigger payout? Which one's your style?
Love to just pile on those parlays, you know?
Right?
Love it.
Yes.
I love a little chaos in my life.
You're like, favorite? Yeah, I can't go against that one, so I like this favorite. It's not going to pay me out a lot. What about this other one? Also agree with the favorite. Not going to pay me out a lot. You do that for two, three, or four stacked on top of each other. Now you're talking about big money. Best part right now is when you use code DNVR on DraftKings Sportsbook and one of those legs doesn't hit and you got three legs to the parlay, guess what? Don't worry. They're still going to give you $25 back in free bets. Can't beat that. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. So before we get to our conversation, or your conversation, with Duels Jeff Dooley of the AA Hartford Yard Goats, took a dive into memory lane, a.k.a. the media guide, to look at some things that haven't happened, kind of like to put on our radar, like almost like Easter eggs, when those things pop up and you go, how did they find that answer so quickly? Or, again, if you're at the DNVR bar and something crazy happens, you'll go, you know, that's the last time that that's happened since... Boom.
Impress your friends that. With your knowledge.
So the last inside the park home run the Rockies have hit was by Ian Desmond in 2019. Blast from the past. How about that?
Blast from the past. Even though 2019 is not that long ago, but like Ian Desmond feels like a lifetime ago.
Well, it depends on how you categorize the pandemic. That is almost literally and figuratively, not to get too serious, a lifetime ago, right?
Yeah.
That got way too serious there. But
Patrick
man,
took it to a dark place.
I did take it there. This is, I wouldn't say dark, but this is, again, something to keep our eye on. This will happen. We won't have to wait three seasons like the Inside the Park, which, you know, I am a little bit surprised we haven't seen just because the odds of something like that happening at Coors Field. Maybe it underlies, you know, the issues, if you will, with the speed of the team, right? We know that they're at the bottom of MLB and the National League when it comes to stolen bases. So they don't have as many speedsters as before. Power has come at a premium. So those Inside the Parkers are few in between. Few and far in between, but back-to-back home runs. Susie, when was the last back-to-back home run we saw this season?
This season?
Yeah. I mean, you've been watching literally every pitch.
Have we even had that this season?
There we go.
We haven't even had that this
season.
There we
go.
It's been since last year in September in Philly.
That's right. September 10th, it was CJ Cron and Trevor Story. And so, of course, had to reach out to Rockies PR. They had to put in the special request from Stats Inc., because Pat Head wasn't working for me on that one. This was a real deep dive. We are, so it's been 277 days now that we have not had back-to-back home runs from the Rockies. So obviously the offseason kind of bumps that up. It's the sixth longest drought that we've had for back-to-back home runs. If you're just looking at games, it's 80 games, and that's the eighth longest drought that we've had. There's been four streaks of 100 or more, which I was pretty shocked by. To think that 100 or more non-back-to-back games. That really sounds like a made-up stat.
It really does.
There's been four 100-plus non-100 back-to-back home run games. Because that's not even a phrase, non-back-to-back.
You're just making things up right now.
No backs to no backs? How would we even categorize that one properly?
What is the acronym for that one?
NB2NBs?
I guess so, yeah.
It might have to be. Enough of the bees, but all of those four streaks of 100 or more non-back-to-back home run games, they're all post-humidor. So you go, all right, that makes sense. There were, you know, a slight downtick in home runs, but they all came during some of the worst seasons in franchise history, 2011 to 2017. 17, they made the postseason. We get it, but still, all of those four came in that span. So predictions. Who's going back to back?
Ooh, who is going back to back?
You got to go with the odds first off, right?
And I
you
got to like
say
Cron,
who backs back to who hits back to back, right?
Yeah.
Like that's got to be a big one if you're going for the odds, right?
Yeah. So I feel like, well, Crohn's got to be in the mix.
Has to be.
So who else do?
And then one other player.
And then who?
Like, well, Buddy's been flipping the lineup around, right? Crohn's been hitting third a decent amount. He hasn't been hitting very well, actually. Over the last couple weeks, he's in a drought, so he's due. Mm-hmm. He's very much due. We could see it on this homestand, in fact. But been hitting third, and then whoever bats second has been going back and forth between Daza, Blackman a lot. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen Iglesias there in a while. But Brendan Rodgers has now been batting cleanup. Mm-hmm. You know, we did even see Ryan McMahon batting there on occasion. So I don't know. I'm going Blackman and Crohn. I think Blackman and Crohn. They probably go back to back most frequently. Would you like that over Connor Joe and Charlie Blackman?
I would say Crohn Blackman over Joe Blackman.
All right, I would as well. So we're gonna go.
Yeah.
Again, I mean, we're going with the odds here, so isn't
why
that
would
fun.
We go against the odds if but we're making maybe, predictions?
But we've got a lefty and a righty, so maybe you want to go two on the same side. Hmm. Now, Buddy doesn't have the two lefties going back to back, so you'd have to have two righties going back to back. Therefore, Crohn Rodgers. I'm going Crohn Rodgers.
I could see it.
I'm going Crohn Rodgers. I'm gonna mix it up.
All right.
Crohn Rodgers.
So
all right.
What do we get if we who what do we get if one of us wins this prediction?
How about if you lose, Yahir's gonna make a graphic with your cartoon. I don't know what's gonna happen. What do you think, Yahir? What would the shame graphic be? That's it. Like if you lose a bet, we have to have a shame graphic. Maybe it's like you look like Biff from Back to the Future and you're in a car with like manure all on your head and all in the car. He hates manure. We know this about Biff, don't we? No?
I haven't watched Back to the Future in a really long time.
You hear, I mean, you're the generation below mine, but Back to the Future still revered, yes?
Yes, very much. I watched that when I was, I think, like 5. Since
you've not revisited Back to the Future or Back to Future 2, arguably a better movie.
No, I have no. I love old movies, and by old I mean early 2000s.
Old timey movies, you know, before they would stream, before we had to. You were forced to go into theaters.
Old timey movies. Oh, that sentence hurt me. That hurt a lot. You hear?
Over 20 years, and they're still old to me.
I feel attacked.
You hear? Have you ever had a VHS?
Yes, as a kid, I had a VHS. I could watch all the Nickelodeon movies.
Oh.
Nickelodeon or Disney movies?
Nickelodeon. I was a Nickelodeon kid.
Yo, I was a Nickelodeon kid,
movies.
Too.
Yep, I would watch, like, Rugrats. They had the Ninja Turtles were produced under the Nickelodeon brand.
Look at this guy.
So
all right.
I was a big guy.
Did you have that orange VHS of
that
the
was,
Rugrats
those were
movie?
The best because I knew exactly where it was. They would never get lost.
I don't know this, but I kind of want one now. I did not grow up as a Disney kid. I did not have the Disney Channel, so I was a Nickelodeon
kid. I was a Nickelodeon kid. I mean, we had Disney Channel at one point, but like for most of my formative years, we were Nickelodeon. We might have had Disney Channel, and I just didn't watch it.
Disney Channel does not compare to Nickelodeon. Nickelodeon is way, way better.
I mean, Disney Channel had some good movies, I'm not going to lie.
Well, yeah, but they came out.
They came out
for HBO.
Yeah.
Well, they came out like every now and then, but Nickelodeon every single day had a good show, good cartoon, something going on.
Yeah, my household, we paid for HBO, but not for Disney. But again, I wasn't Disney. So.
Yeah.
Are you afraid of the dark?
Loved it.
No, I'm asking.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Oh, it was also a show title? All right, I got you here. All right, let's talk about some holidays. We've got holidays coming up. Father's Day this Sunday. Yes. The last time the Rockies won a game on Father's Day was 2017. How about that?
When I think of Father's Day and baseball, I think of that game, Nolan
game.
Arenado game where he's that was a walk-off, right?
Yes.
His face is bloody.
Smash-off as well.
Smash-off. That was iconic. That was like a real, true, iconic moment. And it's actually kind of a shame that it happened on Father's Day because like that really intense picture of Nolan is in like the baby blue Father's Day jersey. It's that would have been a lot better if it was just like a regular Rockies jersey.
Yeah. My story for that day was I went down to go get tickets, stood in line for Rock Pile because it was a last minute thing. Hey, me and my wife, we'll go into the city. We'll do that whole thing. And it was right before I started working for DNVR. Waited in line. They sold out of the Rock Pile. rock pile. And I was like, ah, still went to the window to see what they had and was being very frugal at the time. So I was like, all right, I'll take the standing room only, which maybe was like 14, 15. And then it's like, well, because it's a holiday, it's $24, but it does come with a food voucher. And I think we had brought lunches and I'm like, I'm out. And it just, it threw me off. I said no because a one-legged man cut me off in line cursed me out.
What?
Yes. And so that put a sour
story
taste.
Is taking a weird turn.
It did. And I was like, I kind of want to get out of here. And then afterwards.
The vibes were off?
Vibes were way off.
Vibes were way off.
And before I left, I just felt bad for this guy. And I walked up and I was like, hey, because he thought I cut him, but no, that's not what happened. He tried to cut like three other people and then the security like booted him out. I was like, hey man, sorry, no hard feelings. Hey, have a good day. And then he told me to go F myself. I was like, okay, I'm glad I took the higher ground. I was like, all right, thank you. Didn't shake my hand. And then afterwards, my wife goes, that man is by himself on Father's Day for a reason. And I go, yeah, which made it even sadder on top of that, which kind of did, right?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, this is a.
And then I listened to the game on the radio and I go, wait a minute, this guy is going to hit a walk-off home run to complete the cycle? And then he does it. And so I was at the stadium that day, just on the outside and before the game started.
I mean, I'm sad for you that you did not get to attend the game. But at the same time, like, if all that weird stuff happened to me before a game, I would have been like, no, like, I got to get out of here.
Well, that was it. Like, I was like, oh, you know what? The tickets are a little bit more than I want them to be. No, I just wanted to get out of there.
I wouldn't have made that decision because I am love to spend my money recklessly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's just me.
Well,
this year.
So they're looking to do it for the first time in 5 years to win on Father's Day. Fittingly, they play the Fathers, the Padres.
I love that.
How you like that? It's going to be Senzatell and Yu Darvish if all things stack up. They also haven't won in a couple years on Labor Day. 2018 was the last time. This year, Milwaukee will be at Coors Field. That's like a 2-10 game, so they'll be home on Labor Day. They're not home on 4th of July. They were home on Memorial Day, so you're getting the holidays. They weren't home on Mother's Day, right? No.
No.
They were not.
They were not. They were away.
Yes.
Where were they? I don't know.
I
don't remember now.
Somewhere.
They were
out
somewhere.
Five will goes west. So do the Rockies sometimes. All right. How about recent of the months? We had Brendan Rodgers was the player of the month. And we've had a couple of pitcher of the months. There's actually only been four times in the Rockies' history that they've ever had been awarded pitcher of the month. How about that?
How about it?
That's not a lot.
That's not a lot.
No. Sean Chacon was the first. There's a shout out. Kid from Greeley. Ubaldo did it twice. And then most recently it was Herman Marquez back in September of 2018. Kyle Freeland probably has the best shot of anyone right now. He's 1-0 in his 13 innings pitched so far this month in two starts. He's only given up 3 earned runs, 2.08 ERA. So he's in the hunt, got a long way to go.
Yeah.
Still have at least 3 more starts. So we'll see if maybe we can get the fifth pitcher of the month award. Do you think we've had more or less Rookie of the Month awards for the Rockies than four?
I know I have the information somewhere. I'm going to guess more.
You'd be correct.
Okay.
Very good. I probably would have called for a bust on that. I would have said exactly 4. But 7 times Rookie of the Month. We got Jason Jennings, Clint Barmus, Gary Atkins, Troy Tulowitzki, Ian Stewart, Trevor Story, most recently Antonio Senzatella. In April of 2017, his first month as a big leaguer was 3-1, 2.81 ERA. So that's pretty cool. This month, Brian Feltner's got a long way to go. He's got a homer, 4 RBI. It's going to be hard as a catcher not playing every day to kind of rack up those stats. Maybe Ryan Feltner, if he can get it together over his final 3 starts. But right now he has a 7 ERA. So we'll kind of wait and see what happens with those guys. So been a while since we've seen that.
It's been a while, yeah. Servin had such a fun first couple of games, though.
He did,
very,
for sure.
Very Trevor Story-esque.
Yeah, I'd be curious to know how many catchers have ever won Rookie of the Month in their respective league. Because, again, you're not playing as much, so you just don't have quite as many opportunities to do anything. Do want to give a shout-out before we get to Jeff Dooley. Minor leagues, it's time, right? It's not Monday. not in any capacity, not on the live show on YouTube. Go to the DNVR Sports channel on YouTube or on the podcast. But
in no universe is today Monday.
No. And yes. No. And I live in a lot of, we both live in a lot of universes.
You live in so many different universes.
I think you do too. But you're right. Maybe I live in a couple more.
I think you live in a few more. Okay. That's fair. Maybe I live in one and it's just my own.
Oh, I live in my own too. There's multiverses within said dimension in my own head. But three Rockies prospects won the player/pitcher of the month award. Yankeel Fernandez, Brian Castillo. Fresno Grizzlies swept last week, both pitcher and player of the month. And then AA pitcher Nick Bush for the Hartford Yard Goats. Buddy mentioned him on the depth chart a couple weeks ago when talking about all the pitchers in the organization. So it's kind of nice that those guys got acknowledged. Yankeel Fernandez, particularly nice, 19 years old. He is a guy to definitely get excited about.
Yeah, let's get excited about him. So yeah, in the last five games, he went 8-for-24, three homers, four doubles, 14 RBI.
14 RBI in five games.
That's...
Damn.
My expert analysis is that's a lot.
My expert analysis is just damn.
Damn.
Yeah, I think he had at least four RBI games. One of them, he had a grand slam, but he's one of those really good young prospects to be excited about that are far down in the minor league system. A lot needs to happen. Again, it makes you hopeful to say if they can just be around 500, and by around, I would say no more than four games under 500. No more than four games under 500 by July 1st, then you know what? You could start trading some of these young guys that you don't feel as highly on, and you take that risk. You trade a player, and you don't know what he's going to become. Now, you might not be as aggressive as the White Sox were when they traded away Fernando Tatis Jr. Mm-hmm. before he had even suited up for the White Sox, and you deal him to San Diego. You're not going to go that crazy, but you've got a lot of bulk right now with a lot of these Dominican Summer League players who've just started playing in America. Fernandez is one of those. Brian Castillo, one of those guys who pitched really big on manager Robinson Cancel's 300th career victory as a manager. So good for him. A lot of those young guys to be excited about.
Yeah, there's a lot of youth down there in the minors.
That's it. That's it. I'm excited to hear what Jeff Dooley has to say about AA because they're playing incredibly well. And I'm excited because, as I mentioned earlier, Did come straight from the dentist, getting a mouth guard so I can sleep better, right? Because you got to get your rest.
Oh, my gosh.
That's super important.
Yes.
And only one place to go, Green Mountain Dental
Group. Here we go.
That's the spot. Well, look, a lot of DNVR members have already made the switch to them, yes. So it's only right. I do the same. Right now, when you schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam, you get a free Sonicare toothbrush, same one that I use. See these pearly whites?
Look how pearly they are.
That's it.
Incredible.
Very pearly. All thanks to Green Mountain Dental Group, located only 15 minutes from downtown Denver. Check them out. And if you need a bite to eat, Sexy Pizza is the spot. Capitol Hill, Old South Pearl, Jefferson Park, Park Hill. Go in, get the Susie special. Now, let people know what Susie gets when you're down at Sexy Pizza, because we are pizza snobs. But yes. Sexy Pizza does it legit.
Can they give me a pizza?
What's the Susie special?
I love a veggie pizza. I think I've gone on the record for this before. Any veggie pizza is absolutely up my alley.
Yeah, they have a secret menu for Sexy Pizza. Again, you ask for the Susie special, and this secret menu is so secret they won't know what it is. So tell them it's the veggie pizza.
It's so secret I didn't even know that I had a menu item on the secret menu. This is
again,
so exciting. It's a secret to everyone but Patrick.
That symbolizes a secret menu. So there you go. That's what you get. They also have a location down in Trinidad. So if you're going on a little road trip, Great Sand Dunes, I don't think you'd probably take that route exactly. But maybe if you're going down to Albuquerque, you're going to be in that general area, or maybe a little Santa Fe action.
Yeah.
But if you want to scout some of those isotopes, we're going to hear about some of the guys in AA that could possibly get promoted here very soon. Stop by at the Sexy Pizza location. And again, if you're having any parties or functions, go to their about page online, because they love donating to the community, because they are as community gets. 13 years here in Denver. That's Sexy Pizza, www.sexy.pizza.
I always say this, best URL in the pizza game.
It is.
Hands down.
Some of the best pizza is in Connecticut, and some of the best minor league baseball is in Connecticut.
Yes.
Susie, how fun was this interview catching up with Jeff Dooley, announcer for the AA Hartford Yard Goats?
Well, I've known Jeff Dooley for a long time, so it was just great to have a conversation with him in general because I haven't talked to him for that long in quite some time. But the Yard Goats have so much to be excited about. This is probably one of the best seasons they've had. I talked to him over the weekend before they were leading the league, and now I think they are. Maybe I'm getting these numbers.
They're 38-19. It's the best start in franchise history.
Yes, it is. So they are on their way to securing a playoff spot, which is really exciting because the way they do it in AA is, you know, first half winner, second half winner. So this is the best team they've had since the Road Goat season. Jeff Dooley's going to tell us about that. If you don't know what the Road Goat season is, it's when the AA affiliate did not have a home base for an entire season, played all their games on the road.
Yeah, Dunkin' Donuts Park was not complete.
Not
ready. All kinds of shenanigans and issues with construction and lawsuits and everything. So yeah, they were the Road Goats.
Those lawsuits took a while. It was a very juicy time to live in Hartford, Connecticut, for sure.
Well, if you want the juice, you got to go to Jeff Dooley. So here's Susie's interview with the juice himself, Jeff Dooley.
All right. You know, I am not shy about playing favorites when it comes to Rockies affiliates. Y'all know I'm a Yard Goat for life. And joining us, I'm so excited, is the voice of the Hartford Yard Goats, Jeff Dooley. Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Susie. You are a Yard Goat for life. You're one of our first and biggest fans. And you know what? Wherever you go, I know you take a piece of that that blue and green with you for sure.
I really do. Thank you for recognizing that. You guys are having a really fun season. This is probably one of the best seasons you guys have had so far. Tell us a little about what's going on in Hartford.
Yeah, it's a good team. It's a really good mix. You know, last year we really struggled, really from the start of the season right through the end. And we heard that a lot of the Rockies prospects were at the lower levels of the minor leagues. And I think we're seeing some of those guys not only get to AA now, but really develop. And there's a couple of kids that are playing extremely well. One kid that's really opened up eyes, I think, from every person in baseball that's seen him play, and that's the shortstop, Ezekiel Tovar. He does so much to impact a game. He can get you defensively. He's got a good arm. He's got a tremendous glove. He's got really good range. And he's also a guy that can get you with his bat. He's leading the league right now in both batting average and hits, and he's among the league leaders in several major offensive categories. So, you know, seeing some great shortstop come through the Yard Goats and going even back further than that, where the franchise was before, well, you know what? He's about as good as it gets. And he's just so fun for us and for Yard Goat fans to watch every day.
Yeah, this is Ezekiel Tovar is the prospect that I feel like everyone is talking about. So you guys must be enjoying having him there so much. How are the fans reacting to him?
They love him. They love him. I mean, you take a look at what he does. He's so excited. He had a walk-off home run a couple of homestands ago. He's had a walk-off hit as well. But you just watch a kid like him at age 20. And that's the funny thing, Susie. He's only 20 years old.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, yeah, if he's a couple of years older, he's probably with the Rockies in the big leagues. I think he's got a bright future ahead if he can just stay healthy and keep the course that he's on. But he just loves to play the game. He's getting a lot of media attention now, both with, you know, nationally as well as local. And he's a tremendous kid. He never says no, and he's just a joy to watch play every day. And he is so easy to root for, as are many of the guys that are both pitchers and hitters with the Yard Goats this season.
That's awesome. When do you think we'll see him up in Colorado? Any predictions?
That's a good question. I mean, it depends on what they want to do at the major league level. You know, I would think that they're not going to rush him being 20 years old. I think if he's a little bit older, then maybe they test him a little bit more. But, you know, whenever that time is, we'll all have a few tears because he's someone that is real special. And I can tell you, you don't get a player like that every year. So we're certainly not taking it for granted.
Oh, I love that. That's awesome. All right, so we're going to get into a couple of other prospects that we want to keep an eye on. Let's start with Carl Kaufman, who has been with the Yard Goats before. What are we seeing from him this season?
Yeah, much different guy this year. And I don't know how much, you know, was fair when you look at his numbers last year, because after just two starts in A-ball, he got moved to Double-A. And he really struggled. He'd be the first to tell you that. But, boy, he turned around things. He he told me that he was giving hitters a little too much credit. Instead of maybe using his strengths, he was trying to go against their weaknesses. And he said, sometimes you just need to be confident and use your best stuff to get guys out. And he has been really good. He's been one of the best starting pitchers we've had for 2020. I think they tinkered with a few mechanical things as well. But he's someone that he's fun to watch every 5 days to go out there. He's got a power fastball. He's a mid-90s guy that, you know, he has some really good secondary stuff as well. And he battles. He's not afraid to go after the best hitter in the lineup. So I think he's someone that, you know, is certainly on the radar and someone at some point that could certainly help the Rockies win games out in Denver.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good analogy for life in general. Play up your strengths. Don't worry about other people's weaknesses. That's just like overall life advice right there.
Yeah, and you know, he's hurt so much. And again, just a kid that, imagine playing three games of pro ball. And listen, he went deep into the College World Series at the University of Michigan. So they wanted to shut him down. And then obviously the pandemic happens in 2020. There's no minor league baseball. So I think he probably got to Hartford because he was probably the best of the guys that had a chance to maybe help Hartford's rotation a year ago. And I think the thinking was, well, if he has to return a second year, Ryan McMahon returned a second year, was the best player in the league. So there's nothing wrong with repeating a level for sure. But the mindset I think going in was, you know, I think a little bit of nerves, like, wow, I'm at Double A now. I need to really try to figure this out. And sometimes that's your own worst enemy. I mean, you want to obviously have a game plan going in, but they always say, don't overthink it. You obviously got to this level for a reason. Keep doing what got you here.
I love that. I remember Ryan McMahon's second year in Hartford. He was great. And now look at him. He's thriving here in Denver.
He's a special player. He's one of my favorite all-time players for the Yard Goats. And he's so easy to root for in Colorado.
I feel like anytime I ask anyone who has any affiliation with one of the Rockies farm teams, who's your favorite player? A lot of people say Ryan McMahon.
No doubt. Yeah, he's just one of those personable guys. I mean, obviously, he's a rock star on the field, but I think he's a rock star off the field, too. Every time I see him in spring training, he's asking about how people are doing back in Hartford and always talks about what a great experience that was. And as you know, Susie, he played in the first ever Yard Goats team at Dunkin' Donuts Park and was the first ever Yard Goat to hit a home run at that ballpark. So he definitely has a special heart with a special place in the hearts of Yard Goats fans back in Hartford.
I love that. All right, let's move on to our next prospect that I have to ask you about, Tolia. Are we talking gold glove caliber here? How has he been doing this year?
Yeah, he's really good defensively. Yeah, he can go get it for sure. But I think the thing that pops up when you see him is that he's a huge kid. I mean, a former number one pick out of UCLA. And, you know, he's 6'5". He's got a lot of muscle in the frame. Last road trip, he actually hit a home run from both sides of the plate in a game. It's the first time I've seen that happen. He did that in Bowie, Maryland. So he's got some really good power. He hit a home run in Portland, Maine last week that had everyone talking after the game. He just crushed one. I think it was heading somewhere towards the Atlantic Ocean. But he's a very impressive talent. And I think you would love to cut down the strikeouts, get the batting average up a little bit more. But he's really turning the corner. I know he was striking out too much the first month of the season, but he's cut those down. He's got a 5-game hitting streak now. So he's another kid, I think, that certainly has a chance to, at some point when he's ready, go up and help the Rockies.
Yeah, I was wondering about that strikeout rate, but it sounds like that is on the mend.
Yeah, it's difficult because you're constantly making adjustments, and he does have that presence at the plate when there's not many guys that can hit a ball like he can. So the pitcher, I think, always has that in the back of his mind, and he knows that home run ball is something that can move him and get him to the major league sooner. So, you know, in my career watching guys, the home run hitters, they have the tendency to strike out more because that's sort of their game. They might not make contact, but when they do make contact, the ball is going to go 450 feet. So it's a game of constant adjustments. This is the toughest level in terms of going from one spot to the next. You know, they always say single A to double A is the toughest adjustment. Double A to triple A isn't as much, I heard. Triple A to the big leagues, obviously, that's a different factor because the major leagues are the major leagues at the end of the day. But we've seen so many guys struggle. And, you know, Trevor Story struggled and had to repeat Double A as well. We mentioned Matt came back. I mean, some of the great stars that we watch in the game today had to repeat Double A for a couple of years. So he's back, but hopefully he just continues to progress and gets a chance to go up to Albuquerque this season, and hopefully before long you see him in the Rockies purple up there.
Yeah, let's see. I know before we started recording, you were telling me about Aaron Shunk. How has he been looking this season?
He's been good. He's a former star from the University of Georgia and really good defensively. And one thing that I love coaches that move guys around in the minor leagues, and Chris DeNorfi has just done a great job with that. So he'll move around the infield. I mean, Tovar's been the shortstop basically daily. Once in a while, Hunter Stover will get some reps just to give him a rest. But Shunk has been playing mostly third, but he'll take reps at second as well. They just want to have him ready in case they have an injury or in case a spot opens up. But he is now tied for second in the league in doubles. Hit a big home run the other night in Portland. He hit one last homestand. He's really starting to turn the corner because he did average-wise, Susie. He got off to a tough start, but now he's beginning to make those adjustments I mentioned. And he's another kid, I think, that's got a chance to maybe reach Colorado at some point.
How about Isaac Collins? Do you think he's got a chance too? How has he been looking?
Yeah, listen, I think everyone's got a chance. This is a really good team. One thing I love about this team is that they pull for each other too. Minor league baseball and pro sports in general, it's one of those things that you sometimes find yourself selfishly rooting for you against your teammates. And it's just the reality is that, you know, who wants to go to the next level? And these guys all push for one another, and it's just so fun to see. And, you know, a couple of the guys told me, they said it's almost like a college atmosphere in that clubhouse. They all love each other. Into the dugout, they went out and got a goat head that they kind of rally around. So when someone hits a home run, they have to throw on the goat head and run through the dugout. I know the Red Sox do it, where they jump in the carriage and they push it through the dugout. It's kind of the yard goats thing. And it was all the players that did that. So these guys really enjoy being around themselves. And, you know, getting back to Collins, he hit two home runs. I mean, he's had some big hits for us this season. He had a go-ahead home run in Portland last week, and then he hit a home run 2 days later. So, and he's really good defensively. So I think there's a lot of guys on this club. Chris DeNorfi has said, Susie, before the season started, there's going to be players on this roster that deserve to play every day. But the reality is, they're not going to have a chance to play every day because there's so many good players. And now you're seeing that with Hartford in first place in the standings.
That's amazing. Yeah, no, it's not very often we get to see Hartford in first place of the standings, but I'm so glad you brought up the goat head because I've seen videos and gifs of it on social media. Tell me about you mentioned the clubhouse atmosphere, the, you know, connection with these guys amongst themselves is just great.
They're just having a good time. They really are. I think they feed off each other with energy. Obviously, I don't have to tell you about the energy at Dunkin' Donuts Park because, in terms of minor league atmosphere, I mean, I don't know if there's a better place. You know, last 3 weeks and weekend sold out Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I mean, the kids, they're like, wow, this is the ones that played here the first time. They're like, we've heard about Hartford, but, you know, till you actually go out there and experience coming into the game and you look around and the place is packed and everyone's ready to cheer you on. And it's such a cool thing. And, you know, they've left some great memories so far. So hopefully those continue. But yeah, they just, it's an offense, Susie, that they never really feel they're out of a game. And in Portland the other day, we had a tough start. Kaufman gave up a couple of runs early on. The Yard Goats faced Kyle Hart, who 2 years ago was pitching in Boston with the Red Sox. And they took him to the woodshed. They dropped five runs off him. 2 innings later, they scored 7 times. So here's a team that was down 4-0 after an inning. And some other teams, you know, they might just say, all right, let's just get through the game and you give away a bats. This Hartford team hasn't done that this season. They grinded bats out. They find a way to get in and get on, and they find a way to score runs. And that's the important thing to make it happen in baseball.
That's a really good sign. That's a great mindset. I like to hear that. Is there anyone else that we need to be keeping an eye on here in Denver on the Yard Goats?
Well, in terms of the pitching staff, I think PJ Poulin is really, he's shown that he can pitch well. He's a former UConn star, lefty out of the bullpen, and he has been really good. Not only coming in and getting left-handers out, he came in a big spot last week against the righty with runners on base. Actually struck out one of the best righties for the Reading Fight and Phils, and then came in and then stayed in the game and got the next batter, a lefty. So I think he's a guy that certainly you should keep an eye on. And Gavin Hollowell, who's been closing games, kid out of St. John's, he's a Jersey kid who's 6'7", and he throws really, really hard. So he's another kid that I know Rocky fans know, Riley Pint, who's really he's pitched well this season. He's got an electric fastball. He's throwing 97, 98 miles an hour. And he got off to a good start. Then he had a little bit of a tough stretch, but he's pitching better now. And you never know. I mean, when you one thing you can't do is you can't teach 97, 98 miles an hour. And, nope. You know, you throw that hard and you're getting guys out of Double A, you know that they're watching in Colorado for sure.
Definitely. How many yard goats have made it up to the Rockies at this point? Is it 41? I know you always keep count.
It is 41. Yeah, 41 now. So it's and I know Elias Montero on that shuttle back and forth, so hopefully he can stay up there. But it's been fun, and you know, I know that list is going to continue to increase with some of the talent that we've seen here in Hartford. So for Rocky fans out there, you know, definitely take a peek at the. It'd be great if you want to listen to a broadcast or watch us on MILB TV. But if not, make sure you check out a box score, because there's some guys that I'm sure in the next year or so will be heading your way.
Awesome. All right, Jeff Dooley, thank you so much for joining us. Before I let you go, tell everyone where they can follow your stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So yardgoatsbaseball.com, and that's got links to basically everything. It's got our broadcast, MILB television, or we're also on AM 1410, which is WPOP in Hartford, part of the iHeart Radio Group. So if you have the iHeart app, you can just click on it and get Yard Goats Baseball every night.
All right. Love to hear it. Jeff, thank you so much. Good luck with the rest of the season.
You're the best, Susie. Thanks for having me. I'll talk to you soon.
Such a great update.
You know what? I'm not going to lie. Just watching that back, I'm hyped for the future of the Rockies, just knowing that there's so much talent down there in Double A. And I know everyone always talks about Ezekiel Tovar, but then hearing about how stacked they are across the board, across that lineup, I'm excited. And I'm also like a little bummed that I don't get to live, you know, a half mile away from that ballpark to see all that action happening.
Yeah, you ask him like anybody else we should think about. He named three other players. I had three other players that weren't even talked about that. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, he's probably going to mention these guys. No, he didn't. Like, that's how much talent that's there. Maybe not all of them are going to be of the caliber of Ezekiel Tovar, where you're talking about a potential multi-time All-Star. But you're talking about, again, players that are going to contribute in a really major way. So it was nice to see that. And good to hear a little bit about Carl Kauffman, as we did hear, as we did get in the chat from Matthew about Ryan Rolison, and an update. Where are we going to see him soon? You're not going to see him until 2023 at the earliest. He's had shoulder surgery, so he's been shut down for the entirety of the year. So Matthew, Carl Kauffman maybe is the guy that we could see if you're looking for some odds to be excited about somebody in the upper levels of the minor leagues. Maybe it's going to be him. We got Senzatela and Justin Bieber on Tuesday night. I said Justin Bieber, didn't I?
Yeah. Did you do that on purpose?
No.
It's actually Shane Bieber, but still, we got
thanks
the
for correcting me, because I didn't know.
You said Justin.
I thought it was him. I thought it was the guy. I thought it was Justin.
Justin Bieber is pitching today, so Coors Field is going to be wild.
Well, we hope that the Rockies can hit a couple home runs and say bye, 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 right? No.
No.
I know, I'm kidding.
No.
Shane Bieber. I can't believe I said Justin. What a dummy. All right.
Were you thinking about making a Justin Bieber
joke?
Well,
no. In my notes, I just wrote Bieber because I know who Shane Bieber is. 2020 AL Cy Young Award winner. Here's the thing. I set the over-under at 3 wins. Say 3-3 for the 6-game homestand. Members Discord, people are chiming in already. Again, you can only get access to that if you're a member to the DNVR.com. But I feel like 3-3 is pretty fair. I almost, honestly, I would lean more towards 2.5 wins than 3.5 wins. That tells you where my head's at. But I think 3 is kind of the number.
I think Rockies are getting 4 wins this week.
Whoa, you're taking the over.
I'm taking the over. I'm saying 4.
Okay. I'm gonna take the under.
All right.
Set the line, but I'm gonna go under. They're going 2.5 exactly.
Sounds good.
And so I
sounds accurate.
Hope I'm wrong. A little bit worried. We'll see if the Padres can exact a little bit of revenge on their day.
Mm-hmm.
It's their day. The Padres Day, Father's Day.
It will be their day. Love a little wordplay, you know?
It won't be their day because the Rockies are going to do well and they're going to win 4 games. I like the prediction, Susie.
Thank you.
I'd like for all of you to go out and check out all of our content on Twitter at @DNVR_Rockies. I'm at Patrick D. Lyons on Twitter.
I am at the Susie Hunter on all platforms.
And this has been great, but you know what they say about momentum? It only gets you so far. Your momentum, it's only as good as your next show. So we'll talk to you then.